School, work, movie theaters, nightclubs, music festivals, restaurants, bars, Walmarts, and houses of worship. These are all places where we want to believe we are safe. But as mass shootings continue to happen in these public spaces, many of you have been telling us that your sense of safety has been deeply shaken.
As a father, I no longer feel safe in large spaces.
I'm afraid.
Every time I go to a concert, sporting event, or even an outdoor art show or food truck rally, I think about the possibilities of something tragic happening.
First time I'm afraid or thinking twice about going to certain events where there's a large amount of people.
I don't go to the movies anymore, and I do a lot of my shopping online.
Sitting at work, doing your things, trying to make sure, you know, things get done, but in the back of your mind, I mean, is somebody going to bring a gun to school? Is somebody going to overreact?
When I'm on my own, I'm fine, but when I'm with my family, I do not enjoy concerts, farmers markets, anything of a large area.
You know, it's just scary to think that sending your kids off to school is an act of bravery.
You're not free when you can't go to Walmart or take your kid to a festival or send them to school.
I always keep my eye on exits. We never sit in the middle. I've taught my children how to evade keeping their eyes on somebody while zigging and zagging. They're 9 and 12. They shouldn't have to do this.
I'm afraid for my city, for our community, and I want to live in a safe place, and I don't know where that would be.
Thank you so much for sharing your thoughts on this. And that sense of fear in public was echoed in New York City's Times Square just this Tuesday, when the sound of a motorcycle backfiring was mistaken for gunshots and caused a stampede. WNYC reporter Gwen Hogan spoke to a ticket seller in Times Square on Wednesday who said that she understood the crowd's reaction.
I mean, it's just like this really sad reality. That's how people react. And when I went to see Anastasia, there was this really loud, like, rat-a-tat noise that happened, and, like, immediately the whole audience got, like, really restless and was, like, looking around to see what was going on. It's just the sad but true reality, and it needs to change.
Today, many of our public spaces are changing because of an increased security presence and surveillance in the aftermath of shootings and other attacks. And while heightened security may put some at ease, others are left feeling even more on edge. If we're going to regain a sense of safety in our public spaces, it's going to take more than just metal detectors and armed guards. I'm Tanzina Vega, and that's where we start today on The Takeaway. I have two guests joining me now to discuss the sense of anxiety that many of us feel following public mass shootings and what we can do about it. Vita Beitz is a sociologist at Yale University. Thanks for being with us, Vita.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And also with us is Dr. Pooja Lakshman, a clinical assistant professor of psychiatry at George Washington University School of Medicine. Good to have you with us, Pooja.
Thank you so much for having me.
Vita, let's start with you. When we think about broadly about public spaces, which are now something that become frightening for so many people, what are some of the benefits of having public spaces?
We can never overestimate or underestimate public spaces. We are social beings and we need to socialize. And so public spaces are ways through which we cultivate our communal culture. There is a lot of research that shows that public spaces and being out in public spaces enhances public health. It clearly enhances happiness. It encourages companionship, and it builds our sense of identity in the sense of belonging to a particular place, a kind of a way of thinking, I inhabit this neighborhood, it's my home. So your home is not just the four walls of your apartment, it's the area in which you feel at home. It's the neighborhood that gives you a sense of feeling at home, a sense of some kind of a shared existence. Public spaces are incredibly important.
Pooja, I want to bring you in here because we just mentioned the Times Square incident, where, which was not a mass shooting, but it was the sound of a motorcycle backfiring and people just running everywhere. Is there a name for that? Because I'm sort of calling it a collective PTSD or a post-traumatic stress disorder that we go through as a society. But is that right?
Well, what it sounds like to me is this collective hypervigilance that we all feel in the wake of mass shootings. And some of the research that we have looking at even folks who are indirect or indirectly associated to mass shootings, so folks who haven't lost a loved one, didn't live in the same town, research that we have shows that there's a decreased perceived sense of safety and an increased sense of fear. So this is something that really has become more and more ingrained in our culture over the past, you know, 20 years or so.
And when you talk to patients about the anxiety that they feel after an event like a mass shooting, what do those conversations tend to center on?
Yeah, so I think it what I see is people saying that they just don't feel safe in public. So feeling like, you know, I go to the grocery store, I go to Walmart, I go to the mall, and I don't feel safe because all of these places have been, you know, places of mass shootings or attacks. So there's this sense that no matter where you go, no place is completely without risk.
Vida, taking that into consideration, we just laid out the necessity for public spaces and how important they are to our daily lives. But when you have that experience, when you have people who are saying, as we heard what our caller saying, they're afraid to go to the movies, they're afraid to go to places. I'm scared myself to go to certain places in the aftermath of a mass shooting. What impact does that have on our public spaces and our ability to continue to move in those spaces?
Well, there seems to be a buildup of public pressure on the one hand to have more surveillance cameras, have more drones fly over plazas and neighborhoods and parks, have more security personnel around that people can see and feel that, you know, they might be protected because you have police everywhere. So there is an expectation that if I go out in public, I have to be protected. And that the state will do whatever it takes to protect me. And yet we know that that's really not possible. So it creates this kind of anxiety. On the one hand, anger. Why is the state not doing what it should be doing? And on the other, every time there's a shooting or what I call the violent interruption of some kind of collective public life, there is yet another example that demonstrates that you cannot protect yourself or your group of people or your community from such events. So it creates a kind of a bind, right? And anger and anxiety out of which there isn't really an easy solution.
Pooja, off of that, I want to ask you about the psychological effect that security or increased security has on people. But I also want to first ask you about what effect does it have on us relating to each other? Are we human beings becoming more afraid of each other in these spaces, more vigilant of any false moves or anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it increases this guardedness that we have, especially in these big public spaces. People are really keeping an eye out, listening very closely to what's going on. So I don't know that it's necessarily having an impact on our one-on-one relationships, our relationships to our close friends or family members. But I think that when we're surrounded by strangers, because of these events, we do perceive others differently.
And Vida, as we look at, as you mentioned, the increased security in certain public spaces, how does that impact people? I mean, we're not all in the same class or in the same race. So are there specific times and instances where certain people end up being over-policed or excluded because of these security barriers?
Well, yes, necessarily, because the way that, you know, there's a particular kind of logic to the way that security is imposed on social spaces, right? And so you have to classify populations into categories of you know, dangerous, potentially dangerous, safe, and so on. And so necessarily you have to have certain criteria by which you do the classification. And so any such classification necessarily leads away from democratic principles of equal access and inclusion and so on. So it's by definition an undemocratic process.
And Pooja, that, you know, we heard callers, our listeners who sent in calls, one of them said that they stopped themselves from going to certain places. One of them, who was a parent, said that they were telling their children, you know, not to sit in the middle of a long row, to sort of watch for different people, to zigzag, you know, in between. What conversations can we have to sort of get us through this if we're feeling that anxious about going out in public?
Yeah, I think that the key is to, whenever events like this happen, to take the time and the space to process what's going on. So to process with yourself and sort of allow yourself to feel that fear and that anger, and then also to process with your family and your community, especially for people of color or folks that might feel especially targeted. I think it's important to connect with your own particular community. And so much of these attacks are about destabilizing essentially our sense of safety and the ground underneath us. So by talking about it proactively, it allows us to kind of take back some of that agency so that it's not just about the fear that you feel, and it's not just about how do we escape from this concert hall. It's more about, let's have this extended discussion about what does this mean? How do we think about this?
Vida, we've got a less than a minute left, but I want to get your thoughts on how can we stay safe in public spaces outside of the traditional security measures?
Well, as a sociologist, what I would like to see is a public discussion about what we can do as a society to get away from these binary dialogues. Guns are good, guns are not good, because it's a bind that we cannot get out of. We have to look for alternative ways of thinking about how we will organize our collective public life. Different ideas. We need to have a serious public discussion about what are the possibilities, what are the different visions, what are the ways through which we can do things differently, because the direction in which we're going right now is not a good one.
Vida Bites is a sociologist at Yale University, and Dr. Pooja Lakshman is a clinical assistant professor of psychiatry at the George Washington University School of Medicine. Thanks to you both.
Thank you so much.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.